May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thanks again. I'm sad to see summer come to an end because we won't get to hear you unless we can figure out something. I keep putting public pressure on Craig and Roxanne. I'm sure we're going to figure out something. I'm sure. Song of Solomon, chapter 6. We've been hanging out a little bit in Song of Solomon. Maybe I'm getting ready for the conference in the fall. We're going to be doing on the Song of Solomon. We looked at some of this yesterday and the day before. This little section, but not this particular part. This is again verse 7 of chapter 6. This is the bridegroom, Jesus, speaking to this believer who's advancing in their experience of their union with Christ. All of us are in union with Christ. We're born into that, but we don't always advance. We don't always steward well the grace of God that's given us. And we grow in our experience and manifestation of that union, and we have say-so about that. But he says to her, your temples, your thought life, and your emotions are like a slice of pomegranate behind your veil. Pomegranate speak of resurrection. You're beginning to think as one who's been risen from the dead, who's seated in heavenly places. Your emotions and your thought life reflecting that. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and maidens without number, talking about all kinds of believers. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique. She is her mother's only one. We talked about that yesterday. She is pure child, the one who loves her. And the maidens saw her and called her blessed, and the queens and the concubines also. And they praised her, saying, this is what they observed. Who is this that grows like the dawn, as beautiful as a full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners? I was going to do that whole little section. I don't know if I'll get all that today. The word here, they looked at, who is this? This is someone that they've known. They use that phrase a lot throughout the Song of Solomon as the book is advancing. This is a believer that they've known, but this believer has gone after this life with all of their heart. And they're beginning to recognize transformation about this believer so much so that they recognize this one, but they don't recognize this one. So even in Song of Solomon chapter 8, we've witnessed that even when this person's gone through wilderness places, they come out transformed. Who is this? Even coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. And that seems like every day, no matter what, no matter the warfare, no matter victory, whatever's going on, there's like this, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? Christ-likeness is like that. It does change and transform us. But this little part, I said, who is this that grows like the dawn? Now, this is the section of scripture that I've been teaching for 40 years. And I never stopped learning from the Song of Solomon. And the thing I learned about the Song of Solomon, it's a lot like the book of Revelation. You really can't take anything from it. It just has to give. And you have to be comfortable with what it gives and just let it lie. And it'll give again and again and again because it's written in poetic language and metaphorical language. But I've spent the major part of my life just, this is going over Song of Solomon. This has been my book for 40 years. I've been teaching it for almost 40 years. But who is this that grows like the dawn? And the word grow here, you think about a dawn. If you think about a dawn on a clear morning, and I've not ever been a big hunter, but I hunted for a few years until I realized getting up that early in the morning and freezing to death when I didn't have to was one of the dumbest things I'd ever done. It was a spirit of stupid. And so I decided I would just buy my hamburger meat cheaper at the grocery store. Because everybody told me it's cheaper if you hunt, but not if you spend $5,000 on boots and clothes and stuff. And it really does come out cheaper. But I remember how watching the dawn, a lot of times sitting in a tree stand, just how beautiful it is. Or if you ever, some of you have been to the beach lately, and you go out to the beach, and just this red thing begins to grow. I lived on an island off of the coast of South Carolina when I was the head of the nuclear medicine department in Charleston, South Carolina, at Roper Hospital. And my house was on the beach, and I used to love to watch the sun coming up. It sets and coming up, and the sky would just be like red all the way across this thing. You couldn't see the sun yet, but you could just see it reaching the light, the diffused light reaching across the horizon. And even as a young man then, and still to this day, if you go out into like the West or where it's just flat, horizons have always been fascinating to me because I've always wondered what's on the other end. It's like the horizon represents as far as you can go and what else is beyond that. And it never stops. There always is one, right? But it's like, that's one of the things I think that God, one of the reasons he made the earth round, is a spiritual thing. He could have made it square. We could have stuck on it. I mean, we could have stuck on anything, right? But he made it round, I think, so we would always know there's more. You never stop going. And I think it's also so that we would know that when he casts our sins as far as the east from the west, if you start east, you never stop going east. It just, you can't, it just never stops. But with this, the word grows, literally is the word to reach, to bend and reach forward, to stretch out forward. And this is the first thing they say about her, this believer, is that there's something about her that's always reaching over the horizon and is always in reach, and is reaching out. It's always like searching out and exposing darkness, bringing light where there's darkness, like fingers reaching out over the horizon. And I believe that what this, one of the things that's being said here is these people around her are watching and her going, man, this believer never stops reaching for more. And the more they reach for more, just by being who they are, they seem to expose and diffuse darkness. And I was thinking about what Bracken read, the gospel lesson about when Jesus cried out at the end. The last things that he cried out was, it is finished, into your spirit I commit my, into your hands I commit my spirit. But his last words of declaration were, it's finished. And when that was spoken, when Jesus accomplished what he accomplished on the cross, man, all kinds of things happened. Because it said darkness had covered the earth, but man, there was this earthquake, the veil's torn in two, like all separation between God is removed. You know, there are dead people rising from the dead, walking around the city. I mean, pretty wild stuff, right? Just because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So let me help you grow. Let me help you stretch forward like the dawn. Because it's not just about going after and stretching out over the horizon. And there's always another horizon, so you want to go after more, always reaching over more. And that is, but you have to have a mindset for that. So you have to be willing to be childlike and believe things. So one of the things that the church has always believed is that at the center of our worship is Eucharist. I wasn't going to talk about this part today, but I thought it was appropriate with the gospel reading. And so if you'll notice that the first, I think Eucharist is the most powerful act of spiritual warfare the church does. Now, it shouldn't be vain repetition, even more than prayers should be vain repetition. The scripture doesn't say that repeating prayers is wrong. It says vain repeating, vain repetition. You just do it by rote. Jesus prayed prayers over and over again. He was a good Jew. That's what he did. That's part of their spirituality. So we don't ever do things just by rote, and that's by rote. That's why I have problems when people do Eucharist. They go through the words. They just go real fast to get it done. Like going, no, this is an intercession. This is warfare. We're storming the gates of hell with Eucharist. We're proclaiming his death till he comes. Who are we proclaiming that to? You? You don't know that he died? Well, we are at some level proclaiming to you the finished work of Christ. We're proclaiming to the enemy his defeat, which was accomplished at the cross. We're proclaiming all the things that Jesus accomplished at Calvary. Victory over sin, victory over sickness, and victory over the powers of darkness. We're proclaiming all those things. We need to probably go back and do that whole deal we did all those years ago every day for a few months. But you see, what the church has always believed, the true church has never believed that at Eucharist, Christ is re-crucified. Jesus died for all sins one time, right? We also know God is timeless, and he was slain before the foundation of the world. It's an eternal event. It's not repeated, but it's made present to us. That's the mystery. That's why I tell people all the time, the most charismatic thing that I do, the thing that takes the most childlike faith for me, the biggest Narnia thing I do as a minister is Eucharist. Because at every Eucharist, the redemptive sacrifice is not repeated, but made present. It's a timeless event. And so whatever conference you've ever wanted to go to, say, oh man, I'd love to go see Heidi Baker or Bill Johnson or Randy Clark or whoever, you know, Rick Joyner, or these people, the anointing they carry, you know, T.D. Jakes, just to get in that place. There's never been an anointed scene more than when Christ at the cross cried out, it's finished. Look at the consequences. You're talking about the anointing. People are getting up out of tombs, coming out of tombs, veils being rent. And it was rent from top down. How do you do that? Earthquakes. That's a manifestation. And that's when Jesus cried, it's finished, completed, it's done. Enemies defeated, sin broken, sickness gone, torment taken. That's a meeting I'd like to have gone to, right? Every Eucharist, that same thing happens. That's the mystery. Let's get over being Baptists or Presbyterians or Roman Catholics. Let's get over all that nonsense. Quit reacting to each other. You end up in the other, if you think they're in a ditch, you end up in the other ditch by reacting. Let's stop having reactionary theology. Let's have holy imagination and be childlike. This is what the church has always believed. And we fought over it because the enemy wants us to. We should see more people get healed. When we lift that thing, they ring those bells, they're saying, this is no longer bread and wine. I know you can't see it. I know it still tastes like bread and wine. Be glad it doesn't taste like flesh and blood. That's the grace of God. But this is what used to be bread and wine. Is now the body and blood of Jesus. When you're standing at the foot of the cross, and that same anointing is here, present. Stretch. Get over the horizon, man. Go after it. Believe that. Have that kind of expectation. If we really got that, we'd have to have policemen out there controlling the traffic. Now, we'll have to talk about this again tomorrow, but not necessarily about Eucharist, but this is the deal. Growing like, stretching forward like the dawn. And when you stretch forward with faith and childlike faith, like I'm going to get over this horizon, and I'm going to, and as I do, every bit of darkness, of cynicism, unbelief, all the nonsense, don't believe in happy endings anymore. We expose all that. It diffuses it. Brings hope that the sun's coming, right? Every time we do, darkness does flee. And Eucharist is one of those things. If you get it about Eucharist, you practice signs and wonders mind thinking. You practice the mind that believes in heavenly realities. Because it makes no sense. I'm glad, right? I want him who does exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I can ask or imagine. So anyway, I wasn't going to talk about Eucharist. I was going to talk about that. But I think, so therefore, here's what I believe. I believe this. I believe when I pray at the first, oh Lord, as Christ is lifted up, every place that you've given this place, I'll talk like a charismatic, this house, that's one of the charismatic slang words, this house, every place that this house has stewardship over, locally, as a cathedral, regionally, and internationally, I believe when we lift up and those bells are rung, and the redemptive sacrifice, as if you were standing there at the original event, is made present. I believe the same stuff's happening. There's earthquakes in the spirit. There are people coming out of dead places. We should see it literally. Maybe some people will come out of the graveyard. Veils are being rent. All kinds of stuff happening. I believe that. That's why I pray that prayer. I'm just trying to come into agreement with Calvary. I'm not just praying it to pray it. I actually believe it. I believe there are people in Africa who are getting saved this hour. They're just walking down the street, and all of a sudden they're going, I just want to give my life to Jesus. I believe there are people getting healed. I mean, people getting delivered from torment. I believe their relationships being restored. I just believe it. It's not because I believe it that makes it true. It's true, that's why I believe it. Stretching forward over the horizon. Growing like the dawn. That's how I want to grow. That's the only way you're ever going to grow. Stretch out. Go beyond the horizon. Go like Star Trek, where no man's gone before a woman. Go after it. Because when you do, every time you do, when you grow, it's like the fingers of light. It'll dispel darkness. We'll see this in probably by the time we get to it Friday. You'll end up being like an awesome. The word awesome there is dreadful, like a dreadful group with banners. Don't you want to wake up tomorrow and the enemy go, oh no. Or when you go into Walmart, they go, oh no, she's here. Because I guarantee you there are demonic spirits there and at Winn-Dixie, everywhere. And when you walk in, they go, oh no, this is what we were dreading. We didn't know it was their Walmart day. Some of you, it's your day, every day is Walmart day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.